Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll take the words that I speak this morning and by your Holy Spirit speak directly to our hearts the word that you would have us receive this morning. Amen. Just before we start, I want to acknowledge that a lot of the work that has been done for this series is actually kindly given to me from a friend, Alex Absalom, who is from Sheffield, but now in Ohio in the States. When I first started looking at this topic of gifts, I remembered a day that Richard and I were out. We were walking over a bridge and he said, "Look at the fish, look at them all." And I said, "Yeah." And after a couple of more discussions on the matter, I realised he had sunglasses on and they were Polaroids. So I grabbed his glasses and looked again. You see, gifting is a bit like Polaroid sunglasses. When I looked through the glasses, I saw quite different to what I saw without them. Unfortunately, gifting's not so easy to remedy because you can't take off someone else's gifting glasses and put them on. So therefore we need to understand about the different gifts so we understand where we're coming from. So we understand how God's made us and how he's made others. Have you ever found yourself asking the question, "What am I supposed to be doing? How can I serve God? Where do I fit?" And it's really important that we do understand this. If you like, we can use the analogy of sport and say, well, we're a game, we're players. What is my position? How has God made me? And I'm sure you know that a lot of us play sport from the couch. And when you're on the couch, it's very easy to have opinions about what those that are actually doing the work should be doing, and how we would do it better if only they had chosen us to be in the team instead. But you know, God never made us to sit on the couch when it comes to the ministry of Jesus. He designed us to actually, all of us, to get in the game. So let's first turn to the New Testament and find out what he's got to say. Now if we're looking to the New Testament, we look first to the book of Ephesians. And we're especially looking at chapter 4, which Annette has read to us already today. All right?
Lynette.
Sorry, Lynette. The book of Ephesians was a book that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And what's interesting about this book is that unlike most of his letters, there are no special greetings. There's no problem that seems to be solved. So it seems like it's a letter that was sent out to travel around the different churches, just describing how he sees that we should be the church. And in this particular chapter that Lynette read for us, we read about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, the shepherd and teacher. This letter was written to people just like us, a diverse community. Men, women, children, they would have even had slaves. So that gives us a bit of a background. So if we actually look at, again at how this started. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What's Paul going on about? What's the theme? Unity, wasn't it? Unity. And then to make sure we've got it, he goes on. There's one body, one spirit, as you were called to one hope. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Have we got it? It's really important to Paul that we understand about the unity of the church. Seven ones are used there. These are the things that unite us as God's people. Now, having laid that foundation, he's now ready to start talking about the fact that we're not all the same. We're in unity, but we're not all the same. And so he starts talking about the diversity that's in the body. And he starts off, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportions it." And then he goes on a wee detour. He actually does a quote from Psalm 68, which I'm sure the people of the day would have understood what he was saying. Scholars have debated it. There's a lot of different opinions about what he really meant. And then he comes back at the end in verse 11 and says, "So Christ gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers." So if we put the two bits together at the beginning, we've got to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists. We've got shepherds up there and teachers. Now just explain how the word pastor got changed to shepherd. If you actually look up a New Testament concordance, you'll find the word pastor appears once. And it's in this particular passage. And it's interesting that this word that appears once in the whole of Scripture has been taken to be the word that a lot of churches use for their leader. But not only that, some churches also have children's pastors, youth pastors. And because of that, we have connotations that go with that word. So if someone said to you that you are gifted as a pastor, you immediately think, "A leader church? I don't want to lead a church." And so to save that problem, we actually use what is probably a more biblical word, shepherd. And some translations are now using that word, shepherd, because Jesus was the great shepherd, wasn't he? And shepherd was a picture that was used a lot in Scripture. So we've sorted that. We've got that. It's really important that we understand this basic what's happening here before we actually go on to looking at the gifts. So who were the gifts given to? Have we got that? Each one of us. And who gave them? Christ gave them. So that means there's no arguing. He's sorted out what we are going to have, and that's the way it is, right? And we all have them. Now, introducing you to a word, apest. Some people find it a pest. This is just an abbreviation. So when we're talking about this, we can actually just talk about a pest and we know what each other's talking about. Just from the words apostles, prophet, evangelist, shepherds and teachers. And again, putting shepherds in there makes a much nicer abbreviation for us. Right, having looked at that bit, we're now ready to move on to the next little bit, which goes into maturity. Verse 12, to equip the body for works of service, so that the body may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, etc. So we started off talking about unity, and then we went to the diversity, and now we're looking at the maturity. So we need just to backtrack a little and look at what we've talked about there. One of the problems when we come to translate Greek into English is that punctuation is not there. So in the past, when this has been translated, what has happened is that we've often looked at it through the worldview, the Western worldview, and we've come to a different understanding. In the past, in fact today even, a lot of people would say these gifts are for leadership only. You see, without commas, we can actually read this as Christ gave gifted leaders to the church, and they had three jobs. They were to perfect the saints, they were for works of service, and they were building up the body of Christ. Right, so you had the leaders who actually did those three things to the body of Christ. Now today it's interesting reading what the scholars are saying. They're actually saying we actually got it wrong. A better reading of that is Christ gave gifted leaders for equipping the saints. And the saints will do works of service, and will build the body of Christ. Can you see the totally different meaning there? The first meaning, you've got this divide between clergy and laity, to use those terms. And the second one, we're talking about the ministry of every believer. Isn't that exciting? Now, when we go back now to verse 12, on the screen there, you've got to prepare God's people for works of service. You may have to equip in your Bible. The old word I read before was perfecting. Most Bibles now tend to be using equip, but the interesting thing is it's a noun, so really, it's for, the gifts are for the equipping of the people for works of service. Now, that word equip is a word that is used in the secular sense to refit a ship in the harbour so that it's seaworthy. In other words, it means getting the ship ready so it can do its job, making it fit for purpose. So when we talk about equipping the body of Christ, Paul's talking about getting the body of Christ to a place where they can actually, they're actually equipped to do the tasks that God has for us and the mission of God. Is that exciting? So how long do we need these gifts? This comes to the next issue that we have to deal with. We just missed that one. And the answer is in that third bit. Until we are mature. Until we all reach unity and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we come to our second misunderstanding. The apostle, prophet, and evangelist gifts died out of the church, the early church. We don't need them anymore. We just need now our pastors and teachers, or our shepherds and teachers. Did anyone see anything there that talked about three of them dying out and only two surviving, as we read through that scripture? And if we think of the whole passage that we've read today, the first six verses on unity, did the need for unity die out? And the last section on maturity, did the need for maturity die out? Well, why would the middle bit also die out? God has said those three parts are all going to be there until the church has reached unity, become mature in the fullness of Christ. So we could actually assume that if we're not functioning in all those five areas, it's going to be very difficult for the church to reach the maturity and to, you know, take our part in the mission of God. So this is really important, so we're just going to make sure we've got it. Who are the gifts given to? Each one of us. Who gave them?
Jesus.
And what are they for?
Just people for service.
And the aim?
Right.
Right. And one of the other things that we have difficulty with is our Western worldview of how we learn. Because we all know how we do school, don't we? You do school by having a teacher up front and everyone sitting at their desk. And isn't that also how we've done church? We have a minister up front and we have people sitting in the pews. That's a very Western way of learning. And we look at this passage with those lenses. Maybe there's another way of learning. How did you learn to cook, if you did? By hanging out with someone who was cooking. How did you learn to garden? By hanging out with someone who was gardening. And how did you learn to do carpentry? By hanging out with someone who did carpentry, whether it was in your family or not. It's the apprentice model. So just maybe God is saying that we're going to grow in the body of Christ by using this apprentice model. We're going to hang out with people who are a bit ahead of us. Doesn't mean they're older than us, but anyone who's ahead of us, we can hang out with them and we can learn from them. We can all work to equip the body of Christ. Now, why do we need these five roles? Well, because Jesus is our model. Jesus modeled for us perfect ministry. And if we look at the way in which Jesus worked, Jesus was an apostle because Jesus sent the Father. Sorry, Father sent Jesus into the world. Apostle means to be a sent one. Jesus was a prophet. He saw what the Father was doing. In fact, he only did what he saw the Father doing. Jesus was an evangelist. He reached out to the last, the least, and the lost. He identified with sinners. He found Zacchaeus hiding in a tree. Jesus was the shepherd, wasn't he? The great shepherd. Jesus was the teacher. People called him rabbi, which means teacher. So if we're going to present a rounded model of Jesus to the world, we actually need all these five gifts functioning in the church. We need to experience Jesus the apostle, Jesus the prophet, Jesus the evangelist, Jesus the shepherd, and Jesus the teacher. And we don't do this well. We're all a bit lopsided. Do you know the two that we tend to be really good at? Shepherd and teacher. What we're going to do today is just a brief overview of these five gifts, and over the next 3 weeks of the series we'll actually go more into depth in each one. But as we just quickly go through today, you'll notice on your news sheet you've got a little graph there. You might like to have a stab. As you hear what each one's like, you can say, that's not me, that's a bit me, that sounds like me, just to get us started. Right, so first of all, we'll look to the apostle. When we talk about apostles, we mostly hear the 12 apostles in the Bible, and we think, no way. But there's lots of other apostles in the Bible. There's at least 12, some of them are not named. So the word apostle just means someone who's sent to bring change, to start something new, called pioneers. Sometimes situations are stuck, things are not working, and someone is sent to sort it out. Apostles are usually attracted to risk and adventure. Can you think of someone who sounds a bit like that? Someone has made this marvellous picture, which people have found really helpful. Think of a mountain. If an apostle sees a mountain that he hasn't climbed, he's likely to say, I've got to climb that mountain. Prophet. When we think of the Bible, we think of all those Old Testament prophets who were strange people who sat around in strange clothes doing strange things. But a prophet is someone who can seek and hear God's heart. They have a real ability to understand God's heart. They might have a word for an individual, or it might be for the church community, or even the wider community. They may have a challenge for us, especially challenging injustice, things that are not right. Prophets also tend to understand the sort of times that we live in. They're able to hear and tell the truth of God. So when the apostle's saying, there's a mountain, I've got to climb it, the prophet's saying, whoa, just make sure it's the right mountain, or maybe the right time. So apostles really need prophets. Because apostles will charge ahead, the prophet just checks up that they're heading in the right direction. The evangelist. We know what an evangelist is, don't we? Because we all know Billy Graham, and we all know that we're not evangelists. Well, Billy Graham was a wonderful evangelist, but that's not the normal picture of an evangelist. An evangelist is simply someone who is able to tell the good news of Jesus, and they bring it to people wherever they find them, whether they're at work, down the shops, family, someone in the neighbourhood. They tend to be very relational people. They love gathering a crowd, and they have the ability to do that. And they can make following Jesus seem really attractive. They can be really good at selling you something too. But they can rally people around for a cause if it's something they're passionate about. So while the apostle's eyeing up the mountain, and the prophet is saying, whoa, is it the right mountain? The evangelist is saying, I wonder how many people we can get to join us. Right, the shepherd. Shepherds are the nurturers. They are full of compassion and mercy. They make you feel loved, welcome and accepted. We really need our shepherds. They draw people in. Someone's called them the relational oil of the community. They help us get along. They're really good friends. But a good shepherd will also be able to challenge. They won't let us get away with rubbish. They want us to grow up. So while the apostle is saying, let's get up that mountain, and the prophet's saying, whoa, is it the right mountain? And the evangelist is saying, I'm off to get a crowd to come with us. The shepherd will be saying, we have to make sure that everyone gets there safely, that they've got what they need. Right, the teacher. Teachers are very into truth. They want to make sure that we can understand it. They're very good at taking what is complicated and making it simple so the rest of us can get it. It's not just in scriptural things, but you'll also see teachers working in a technical area, something that they're passionate about, where they have lots of information and they're able to sort it and explain it to us. Teachers tend to be good at digesting lots of information and hopefully applying it to our lives. And as teachers mature, they'll actually model it, so they won't just be able to say, do what I say, but do what I do. So the apostle's eyeing up the mountain, ready to go. The prophet's saying, make sure it's the right mountain. The evangelist is off gathering the crowd to go with them. The shepherd is making sure everyone's going to be okay. And the teacher's going to make sure that you know how to climb a mountain if you haven't done it before. And if you're not sure, just follow along. Now, another way of telling what gifting we are is listen to what we complain about. Listen to the questions that we ask. Now, if you hear someone saying, are God's people fulfilling the dream that God's made for them? Or have we got a strategy to get to where we're going? They're the things that apostles will ask. Prophets are more likely to say things like, are we hearing what God's saying? Do we understand what's going on at this time in the world? Are we praying? They're prophet questions. The evangelist is likely to say, are new people coming to meet Jesus? Are we spending enough time building relationships with people in the community? Like, that's an evangelist's heart showing. A shepherd. Are we caring for everybody? Does everyone feel loved and welcome? And the teachers are going to want to make sure that everyone's getting to know the scripture and they're learning to read it for themselves and find God's word for themselves within the scripture. Did you hear yourself in any of those questions? Or something like it? So there's the mountain. Next time you see the mountain, you'll remember those five things. We'll come back to that. If you want something to take with you, we'll go more into this in the following weeks, but you have a hand. One for each gift. The thumb, the apostle. Have you noticed what you can't do when your thumb's out of action? It's hard to get things going, isn't it? Things sort of fall away. You haven't got much strength. If we try and function without the apostolic gift, we don't have much strength in the body of Christ. The apostle can also work with any of these. The pointing finger, the prophet, showing us the way to go, hearing from God and pointing the way to go. Your long finger, your middle one, the evangelist, the one that reaches out into the community most with a heart, especially for those that don't yet know God. Our ring finger, the shepherd. This is our, the one that holds the wedding ring, isn't it? Think of relationships and love. And the little finger, the teacher, the one that you can to dig with, you can stick in your book, marker in your book. That's your teacher gifting. And you know what happens if any one of these is not functioning? You don't realise how much you need each one, do you? Until one of them's not working. And it's the same with the body of Christ. Unless we have the five gifts functioning together, it actually makes us weak. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your design, for the fact that you have called each one of us, that you've made us a gift to your body. You've made us a gift to our homes and community. And Father, just pray that as you've been speaking to our hearts today, that the word would not get lost, but what you've been dropping in our hearts would go deep and would bear much fruit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.